It had only been 4 years since Brandy released an album, with the last one being 1998's Never Say Never. Since then, a whole new crop of teen pop and newer R&B acts had emerged, and Brandy took a few years off from the spotlight, with many wondering, would she be able to achieve the same success upon her return? Naysayers be damned. Brandy came out in full swing on 2002's Full Moon, and has since become one of her signature albums, if not her signature album. This year, we celebrate 20 years of this iconic record, so join me and a few of my special friends as we dive into this iconic record, going through all the songs and more from this era. So sit back and check outside your window, because if you're listening to this, well, it just might be a full moon, because it feels like one of those nights. Hey everybody, my name is Michael Kadosh, and I'm here to welcome you all to Planet 2000s, a place where we celebrate pop music's most iconic moments from the most iconic decade in pop music history. Let's dive in. Hey, you guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Planet 2000s podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kadosh, and I'm really excited because today we are going to be talking about Brandy's Full Moon album. I haven't gotten the chance to speak about Brandy yet on this podcast, but now is as good of a time as ever, as we are celebrating 20 years of the Full Moon record, which was released on March 5th, and we are pretty much at that date right now in 2022, so we're going to be celebrating today. I am going to, as usual, be talking by myself a little bit just about the album and the singles and the era, and then I'm going to be joined by some special guests, and we are going to be doing a track-by-track album moment. I'm going to be joined by my friends Casey, Keisha, and Unique, and we are all Brandy stars, Brandy fans, and, you know, we've known each other for many years. We've had some moments together in New York, in Philly, in other places, Toronto. We decided to have a little reunion for this episode, and we talk about the album, and it's really fun, so I hope you guys stick around and catch our conversation. But first, it's time that we, you know, you and I chat a little bit about this album, because if you guys don't know the Full Moon record, well, you're in for a treat. It was the third studio album by Brandy, and it was released on March 5th, 2002 by Atlantic Records, February 20th in Japan, February 26th in Europe, so on and so forth. The album was primarily recorded during a hiatus that Brandy took after the completion of Moesha in the spring of 2001. She was ready for an image change, and she wanted to record an album that was more adult. After all, Brandy was 22 years old, 23 by the time the album was released, and prior to recording of this album, Brandy had suffered somewhat of an emotional and nervous breakdown, and she spoke to Oprah about it in 2002.
I was overwhelmed with all of the work and the fame. It all happened at once. Mm-hmm. And I loved it in the beginning. You know, it's great signing autographs and living out your dreams and singing and doing everything that you...
Because you've been working and famous since you were how old?
15.
15.
And I just lost myself in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to grow.
Do you think you lost yourself or you never? Because I think like 14, you know, 15, that's why everybody talks about those teen years are so tough, because you really are trying to figure out who you are. That's what the teen years are about.
Yes,
you're pulling away from your parents. You're trying to create your own identity. So did you lose yourself, or was it that you never had a self?
That's right. I never had a self, and I was trying to grow into a self.
Uh-huh.
But being a celebrity, I started to become the celebrity.
Yeah.
Instead of what I would have been if I wasn't.
She had a lot of time to think over the few years that she took off of music in 2000 and the first half of 2001. She even told Jet Magazine in early 2002 that, "I've taken years off for myself and got a chance to find things I like to do, things I don't like, and things I want to change about myself."
My last album was 3 years ago. The new album, it just represents an edgier feel. You know, it's more sexy, more mature. I've grown a lot more vocally. It's just more about me and who I've been for the past 3 years.
Brandy reconnected to her Never Say Never collaborator Rodney Darkchild Jerkins for the production on this record, further reinforcing the narrative that these two made musical magic together. Along with LaShawn Daniels, Fred Jerkins, the whole family, they got back together for this record, and they did quite a job, darling.
Fred Jerkins has always been on the team, and also LaShawn Daniels. It's like family working with them. It's always great to work with people that understand you musically and allow you to have some type of creative control.
Additional production on the album was helmed by Mike City, Warren Campbell, and Keith Crouch, who notably collaborated with the Vocal Bible on her first album, Brandy, in 1994. Musically, the album is an R&B and pop album with elements of UK garage, electro dance, glitch, and funktronica. Now, if you guys listened to my Craig David episode earlier this season, you'll know that I spoke about how in the early 2000s in the UK, garage music was really emerging and it was really the sound of the future. And a lot of American artists that went overseas to do promo in the UK or whatnot were so inspired by that sound that they heard that they wanted to bring it to American music. Well, Dark Child was no different. He was working in the late 90s, early 2000s with the Spice Girls on their album Forever, which I'm definitely going to have an episode on, don't you worry. He was so inspired by the sound that he heard in the UK clubs, that UK garage two-step meets R&B meets disco sound, and how futuristic it was. A lot of those sounds are reflected in the album, and also in the aesthetics of the record. I'm talking that futuristic shit, okay? Lots of silver colors, pin straight hair, it's the future, baby. At that time, UK garage music was the future. Like I said in the Craig David episode, Born to Do It, make sure you listen to it if you didn't get a chance to. It kind of relates to the Full Moon album. Dark Child brought that UK garage sound. It's futuristic as hell. Even today, I listen to it and I'm like, dang, am I in the future? This was 2002. Brandy also went on to say that Full Moon was a concept album. She told MTV News that she decided to name the album Full Moon in reference to her recent experiences during her 3-year hiatus. I've done a complete circle and I feel whole. All of that's reflected in the music, and that's why I entitled my album Full Moon. It's a concept album. It's autobiographical. Everything that I've gone through in the last 3 years is reflected.
It's definitely a cleansing for me, just being in the studio and just singing about things that I've actually gone through. It sort of helped me get through it. But at the same time, I think you need the rough times to appreciate the good times, and those times make you stronger. Really makes you stronger.
Now, there were 3 singles released from this album, What About Us, Full Moon, and He Is. So why don't we get started by talking about the singles a little bit. What About Us? What About Us was the first single that was released from this album and hit the airwaves on January 2nd, 2002, January 18th at radio. It was co-written by LaShawn Daniels, Rodney Jerkins, Brandy, Nora Payne, and Kenesha Pratt. The song is an electro R&B song and is a perfect example of that UK garage influence that Dark Child brought to the table. Brandy wanted a song that was different, more aggressive, and sexier, yet still promoting a positive message of strength and independence for women.
The title of my first single is What About Us. What inspired this song was just relationships, just in general, how people come into your life and say you mean the world to them, but you really don't. Of course, I've been in a relationship where, you know, I've been lied to and, you know, did wrong and things like that. But, you know, so things like that inspire you to sing about so you can get it out. You know, you can't keep it in, you gotta get it out. And I'm just speaking for all people in general who have that kind of problem in their relationship.
The song came to be towards the end of the period when Dark Child was creating beats for the album. And after Rodney played the song for Brandy, in quotations, she told MTV News, I was like, oh my God, Rodney, this is it. This is exactly what the industry needs. We can maybe change the game with this. And then he's like, yeah, this is what I'm going for. Brandy then spoke with co-writers Nora Payne, Kenesha Pratt, and LaShawn Daniels and instructed them on what she wanted to talk about. And alas, What About Us and all of its glory came to be. What About Us is a song about a girl who's asking questions about her relationship or lack thereof. What about all the nights that you gave? What about all the things you said? You promised you'd love me, motherfucker. What about us? She's asking questions, and Unique and I go into this when we do our track by track. The music video for the song was nothing short of positively iconic. It was directed by famed videographer Dave Myers, who, previous to shooting this video, had worked with Janet Jackson for All For You, Britney Spears for Lucky, and Usher for You Remind Me, and so much more. So Brandy was getting the best of the best for this video. The label was investing a ton of money into the project, and after all, Brandy's previous album had sold 16 million copies worldwide, so why wouldn't Atlantic Records have been 100% behind the project? They were, and it paid off in the results of the art.
This is my first time working with Dave Myers. I've been a fan of his for so long. I really appreciate all his work. The concept of the video, I just think, is capturing my moments as a performer.
There's been a lot of R&B videos that have this theme of women who have been pained by bad relationships. A good portion of them actually try to make steps towards narrative and where you actually see the storyline played itself out. So that, you know, when I first heard this track and heard that theme, I wanted to make sure that people understood that Brandy was not doing what other people have done.
It doesn't really have a storyline. It's just different setups on, you know, beauty, fashion, edginess, hip. I think that's what it's all about.
Trying to capture all the different aspects of her diverse personality and putting her in cool worlds and making it very, very edgy so that we can show the world what she's been doing since the last 4 years.
To all the fans, I'm back. And you're gonna love it.
The video was shot in early 2001 in a California soundstage using green screen in order to include a futuristic setting, and boy did it ever. The video was all about showing a newer, edgier, and sexier side of Brandy, who up until this point had worked the girl next door image as far as she could. There are cameos by her brother Ray J, and all the settings in the video are set in a science fiction world. The music video premiered on MTV's Making the Video on January 10th, 2002, and was a staple on TRL. It also reached number 7 on the Much Music Video Countdown in Canada, which is where I learned the song. They played this video on Much Music all the time, and I was about 6 years old when this song came out, and I recall being in the first grade and getting a good report card, and telling my mother, as my report card gift, that I wanted the Brandy CD, and she came home that day with the Full Moon album, and I played that CD to the ground. This is a very important album for me because I had it at such a young age, and so I knew every single song, and I eventually got to get her to sign it when I met her first in 2015. I met her a few times, and I met her in New York when she was performing Chicago, Roxy Hart. She signed it for me, and she was so gracious and so sweet and so beautiful. The video was so successful on MTV that it ended up getting nominated for the Viewer's Choice Award at the 2002 MTV VMAs, where Brandy rocked a sequin dress showing off her cleavage notably. She lost the award to Michelle Branch's song Everywhere, and you guys can listen to my Michelle Branch episode as well. The Silk Hurley remix of the song was even nominated for a Grammy for Best Remix Recording. The song performed very well on the charts. It reached number 4 in the UK, number 6 in Australia, number 7 in the USA and Denmark, number 8 in New Zealand, Scotland, and Switzerland, and certified gold in Australia. It also successfully helped Brandy make the transition into more adult music with a sexier image. It seemed to be working until Brandy learned that she was pregnant and had to go into PR mode. As we know, around that time, the media was so unnecessarily harsh, especially on women, so Brandy and her team felt to protect her image that she should say that she was married. By the time the album would be released in March, she'd be 6 months pregnant and showing, so that's the plan that her team came to, and they followed up on it.
I knew I was gonna have to let out the news that I was married and that I was pregnant. I was a little nervous about that because in the back of my mind, it's like, oh my God, I'm about to have a baby. Wait till the world finds out about this.
Everybody was speculating about it and I didn't feel comfortable just saying, I don't know, well maybe, and things like that. I really wanted to be upfront about it because marriage is a beautiful thing. I knew pretty soon I was gonna have to say I was married because, you know, you don't want to hide anything like that forever because your family wants to know, your friends want to know, and then those people tell. So it was going to get out pretty soon. So I just wanted to tell the world that I was married and present it in a very respectful way.
They meant business, and it truly led the world to believe that she was married. After all, her belly was going to show, so that was their way of controlling the narrative at the time. This ushers us into the second single from the album, which came out around the time of the album, Full Moon. Full Moon is the title track from this album and was released as an official single from the album on the 1st of April 2002. It's one of the Mike City produced tracks, so it doesn't follow the futuristic UK garage sound that What About Us has, but it does have a party upbeat sound to it that merges both R&B and pop music so beautifully. It makes use of a simple piano riff through the song that has since become instantly recognizable. The lyrics are about love at first sight, seeing that boy for the first time in the club and knowing that you want him from that moment, referencing that it must be a full moon if something as usual as this is happening. One of those nights, if you will. She explains to MTV in a 2002 interview that it is pop and R&B at the same time and has a lot of elements to it. Lyrically, the song deals with the circumstances of an unexpected love at first sight. Anything can happen on a full moon. On that particular song, I'm actually falling in love with somebody I'm just meeting. The video was directed by Chris Robinson and filmed on March 1st and March 2nd, 2002. And Brandy was almost 6 months pregnant with her daughter Sarai when she filmed this video. So that was the main reason why she wasn't really dancing in the video. Brandy is stargazing through a telescope on a full moon night. How fitting, am I right? It's then that she spots a handsome young fellow in a window at a party across the street, which then makes her get dressed up and get into her car and drive to him. And of course they get together. After all, what else did you expect would happen on a full moon? The song itself got some pretty positive reviews when it was first released, with Chuck Taylor of Billboard noting that the song portrayed how a few years off have allowed Brandy to evolve and grow, and called it another hit destined for the R&B and pop saturation. The song did pretty good on the charts, actually. It reached number 2 in the Netherlands, number 15 in the UK, number 16 on the US R&B hip-hop songs chart, and number 18 on the overall Billboard Hot 100, making it the second top 20 single off of this album. So, you know, it was expected that the next single would be just as successful. And unfortunately, it wasn't, but it is still a great song. The third single on the album was He Is. It was also the final single released from the album. It was written by Brandy, Warren Campbell, and Harold Lilly. The song was conceived during spiritual conversations with Brandy. At the time, Brandy wasn't quite ready to get into gospel music, but she always had a very strong relationship with God, and her co-writers wanted to help her explore that. When she recorded her vocals for it, the song was actually written in a way to speak about a relationship, but it is in fact about God in the third person. Warren Campbell was a member of Brandy's band when she was 15 years old and started promoting her first album. He went on to start a career in music production and reconnected with Brandy in 2001 when she was recording the Full Moon album. In an interview with Yahoo Music in August 2002, Warren Campbell revealed, "I've never told Brandy and she still doesn't know. She thinks it's about birth and I wanted her to sing it like it's about birth. That gave it that push. She has probably figured it out by now that it is about God." The song was released as a single and sent to radio stations on September 17, 2002. A CD single with extra remixes was released, and we even see footage of Brandy recording these vocals during her MTV reality series, Brandy Special Delivery. And more on that show in a moment, y'all. Underwhelmed with the outcome of the new mix, Brandy initially questioned whether to release He Is as a third single, since she felt it was not modifiable into a crossover hit. Atlantic Records went ahead and released the original version of the song as a single, but it unfortunately failed to make much impact on the charts like the two previous singles, and only reached number 78 on the US R&B hip-hop songs chart. I'm very excited to tell you guys about this new company that I've been working with. In our COVID times, you know that small businesses are booming right now, and this small business is one that I can ride or die for. Jaden Collections Boutique. Jaden Collections Boutique has everything from fun accessories like jewelry, bracelets, and masks to keep yourselves protected from COVID, to personalized crew necks and t-shirts and other different clothing items. Small business mama that is making it happen for herself. If you guys go on her Instagram, at Jaden Collections Boutique, you can take a look at all the fun things that she has to offer, and also the link to her website. If you guys decide to purchase a little something, make sure to enter the code PLANET2000 in the checkout in order to get 20% off of your order. That is PLANET2000 to get 20% off of your order at Jaden Collections Boutique on Instagram. We love to help out a small business, and we love to see them thrive. I just wanted to take a moment to let you guys know where you can find me on social media. I am on Instagram at Planet2000, or you can hit me up on my personal page at Michael Kadosh, C-A-D-O-C-H. If you guys want to talk about some good old pop music or just reminisce about some good times, then make sure to hit me up there. I'm also on Twitter or Facebook at Michael Kadosh. Back to the pod. Originally set to be released at the end of November 2001, the album was delayed to early March 2002, and then she began a slew of European performances before ending up in New York with a series of promotional appearances. CD signings, MTV, TRL, BET's 106 in Park, Leno, Regis and Kelly, and of course, that famous Oprah interview where she announced that she was pregnant and gotten married in a private ceremony. The truth eventually came out in 2004, but we'll talk about that when we get into the Aphrodisiac album another day, darling, okay? We're talking about Full Moon now, and it's 2002, and right now Brandy is, to the public, married, pregnant, and happy. Brandy also performed Full Moon on stage barefoot at the 50th anniversary celebration of American Bandstand. However, probably the most notable promotional tactic that was used in this era was her MTV reality show, Brandy Special Delivery.
I have so many memories about my life. One of my first was when my father let me sing in church. Even then, I knew how powerful music could be. Life changed when we moved to California. I began to audition for anything that would let me use my voice. After years of hard work, eventually it all paid off. Every day, I realize how fortunate I am. And now comes my biggest challenge yet. I'm gonna be a mom. Yeah. Brandy. Oh, baby, baby, baby.
The show was a 4-episode reality series that followed Brandy while she was pregnant and recording the single version of her third single, He Is, and it gave us some gems, trust me. It was originally only going to be a regular episode of MTV Diary, but MTV decided that the content was interesting enough to be a short series and actually replaced the Osbournes at the end of their season during that time slot for the 4-week period that the new episodes were airing. Brandy's beautiful daughter with producer and boyfriend, then publicized as husband, Robert Big Bert Smith, Sarai, was born during the last episode of the series. To be honest, I'm sure that that is probably a beautiful thing for Sarai to be able to look back on and be like, wow, like this was my mom when she was pregnant with me, doing her thing, being a pop star. Her life event of being brought into this world is documented professionally. Like, that's pretty awesome. I would love to look back at that if that were me, at least. Now, rumors of a tour at the time were swirling around, and she was even going on talk shows around the time of the album's release, saying to expect a tour in September of 2002, but the plans never came to fruition.
You had a big world tour coming up, right?
Yes, maybe in September or October, I would love to tour.
And the baby is due in what, 3 months?
July.
So it looks like you and the baby will be together on this tour.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's different now because the reason why I didn't want to tour before was because I had the television show. Now that I don't have all of the acting going on, I could definitely tour with this album and I want to.
I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that maybe after she had her baby, she just didn't want to tour. Or maybe there were label issues. I mean, there was not a fourth single from this album, and even the third single wasn't really promoted properly. So, you know, we'll never really know what happened there. But there's been a lot of questionable things that have happened in Brandy's career in the 2000s. And it's like, is she really getting the label support that she deserves? I always wished that this album got more because it's just such an amazing body of work. And I would have loved to see her perform some of these songs live that she still hasn't done to this day. I'm sure she probably would have done them on a full moon tour. So, you know, we'll never know, but I'm just grateful for the record, right? Reviews for the album were mixed. Not uncommon for that time, though, as we've seen many times on this podcast, how publications were absolutely ruthless back in the 90s and early 2000s. But we try to focus on the positive here at Planet 2000s, okay? So, a positive review, Entertainment Weekly journalist Craig Seymour gave Full Moon an A- rating, saying that where Rodney Jerkins is hurt, jerky stylings come off cold on Jacko's latest. I don't like that they called Michael Jackson Jacko, and to be honest, I follow Craig Seymour on Twitter now, and he probably wouldn't, so I feel like that probably wasn't even him that said that. They embolden 23-year-old Brandy as she learns the difference between teen heartbreak and grown-up betrayal, suggesting maturity and the high price that often comes with it. People Magazine found that the rest of Full Moon can't sustain the bizarre brilliance of What About Us. Well, much of the CD branches a similar edge with electronic wizardry, made for headphone listening, it showcases the producing team more than its singer. Brandy has one of the more distinctive voices around, so it's a shame that she so often gets lost in a beat-heavy mix. Okay, People Magazine were a bunch of haters, okay? But I just feel like I should let you guys know that that was the conversation at the time, because a lot of the time these albums didn't get the flowers that they deserved when they were coming out, and that's why I feel like podcast episodes like these are so important to give to our artists, to be like, yo, you did such an amazing job and you put out such amazing work. Let me give you your fucking flowers, girl, because you're the queen. Brandy, you are the vocal bible, and this album is the shit. Like, I don't even have a better way to say it. I'm on the Entertainment Weekly side of things here, okay? The Full Moon album was nominated at the 2003 Grammy Awards for Best Contemporary Urban Album, but lost to Ashanti's debut album, Ashanti. Now, I don't see quite how that happened, Recording Academy. I just want to talk. No shade to Ashanti. We love Ashanti. I love that album. I've done a whole episode on that album, but like, that album does not compare to Full Moon. I'm sorry, it just does not. In the USA, the album debuted at number 2 with sales of 156,000 copies in its first week and went on to be certified platinum by the RIAA. It also peaked at number 8 in Canada, earning a gold certification there, and it became her first top 10 album in the UK, peaking at number 9. The album was even certified gold in Japan. Now, this album is widely considered to be Brandy's best, earning her the coveted title of the vocal bible. Many artists like Chris Brown, Tamar Braxton, Melanie Fiona, India Ari, and more have seconded that notion, with Melanie Fiona calling Brandy the harmony queen and India Ari specifically calling out the song He Is as the blueprint for R&B music and vocals. Luke James has said that the album is the diagram of how to make vocals. So, you know, there's no denying that Brandy's vocals are out of this world in this album. But now, you guys, it's time for us, the fans, to discuss every single track on this album and delve into the genius that is Brandy Rihanna Norwood. I'm going to be joined by some special guests, and we're just a bunch of fans, and we're just going to be talking about the album. And if you guys listening know the album like we do, then I'm sure that you'll be able to relate to a lot of it. Let's take it away, shall we? Mm-hmm. What's up, you guys? Thank you guys for listening to the Planet 2000s podcast. We are back and I am here joined with some very special guests. And we're going to be doing a track by track today. So, ladies, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves.
Bet. All right. So, my name is Unique, originally from the most beautifulest land in the world, Memphis, Tennessee. I am a travel agent, travel blogger, and content creator. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Unique's World.
Okay, my name is Keisha. I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I am a law student in a Brady stand. So, that. You can find me on Instagram at the number 4 Everett Keisha _.
Hey, and that's how you know that's like the real stan shit right there, the 4 ever. And last but not least, my gorgeous.
Oh,
yes.
Go on, gorgeous.
My beauty, my queen, my literal favorite person in the entire world.
Oh, my goodness, Mikey. You know I love you. My name is Casey, everyone. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I, too, am a Brandy stan, which is how we all know each other and how we're connected. You can find me on Instagram at forever curly curlie girly GURLIE. So much to say about me, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm just super excited to be here because you know I love your podcast and you know I love Brandy, and this happens to be my favorite album. So hey. I'm excited to be here. Whoop whoop.
Mine too. And so this is a cool moment because I've done a bunch of episodes of this podcast, but I have yet to do a Brandy album. And so I don't think the listeners realize my connection to Brandy. And the reason I haven't done one yet is literally I was waiting because I knew the 20th anniversary was coming. And so I'm like, nah, I'm going to wait and we're going to do this right. I've been a giant fan of Brandy since I was a little kid. And I know all of these ladies because there was one day in a hotel room in literally Pennsylvania, because my aunt lives in Philly. I was 17 and she had just done the BET Awards for Whitney Houston. And I literally went on Twitter. Hey, are there any Brandy fans here? I want to talk to about her with some people. And then over the span of 2-3 years, I was connected to all of you guys. And then we've hung out, we've met before, and we've had some really cool moments like New York and Philly and all that good stuff. So I'm so excited that you guys are here. I want to know how you guys, before we get started, how you guys each got into Brandy.
So I'm a little bit older than you all, just a little bit. I heard Brandy first on Power 99. The local Philly radio station. And I immediately I immediately was like, oh my God, who is this girl? Absolutely loved her. My sister won tickets for me to go see her. Now, this was a little bit later. This was Never Say Never. But she was my first concert experience. And I just always gravitated towards her. I really liked that she was the good girl, but she still was cool, you know, like she wasn't about to give it up. She wasn't about to be dancing on stage with no clothes. And, you know, for a 7 or 8 year old, she was a good role model, but I just always loved her. Every little thing she did, I wanted to do. She used to wear these tiny little book bags. And I used to think that was the coolest thing to have, like a cute little tiny book bag and look like Brandy. So I've just always loved her. Like from the minute she stepped on the scene, she was my favorite.
That's amazing. I love that you got to experience her from the beginning, because I didn't get that experience.
It is pretty cool.
I feel like me and Unique and Keisha probably have a similar start, because I think the three of us are around the same age. Not that you're that much older, darling.
Just a little bit, you know?
But we're mid-90s, baby. So Unique, how did you get into Brandy?
It was actually Cinderella for me at first, you know. I didn't really know there was a distinction between Cinderella and Brandy. I thought... She woke up every day as her life as Cinderella. And then around 9, I got the Aphrodisiac CD and it was like, oh, so there's a difference here. Like this lady sings. That's really what it was for me. Really short and sweet. Like first, you know, just my grandma showing me Cinderella, you know, wanting me to see princesses that look like me. I was around 9 when Aphrodisiac came out.
So basically, it started with Cinderella for me too, like being a kid, being at home, you know, getting your hair done on the floor on the Sunday. And Cinderella's on the TV and I'm like, yo, like, who is this?
Yeah.
Like, I love her. Who is this? For one of like my birthdays, I got like the Brandy doll when I was a kid too. And I was like, yo, like, this lady, like, she's fine. And I knew Moesha. Like, I really got into, like, Brandy the actress first. But, like, you know, Moesha, you met Brandy.
Yeah.
And Have You Ever was on. And I was like, yo, like, this lady. The talent.
The talent is unreal.
The talent.
Unreal.
Been, you know, we've been rocking ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Literally, my story is the same. Cinderella. That was how I first saw her. I guess it was just on TV. It was the, I think, 60 million viewers. So I must have just been watching it. And I just fell in love with her. And then The Boy Is Mine. And I just thought she was just so beautiful. I always had a thing for beautiful girls. And I was like, she's stunning. And then I was, and then the Full Moon album in particular, I was 6 years old when it came out. And I will never forget. I think I had like an A plus report card. I was in the second grade. Or was I in the first grade? I think I was in the first grade. And I had a really good report card. My mom's like, what do you want from HMV? HMV was like our FYE. I guess that's your CD store. And I was like, I want Brandy. That's what I want. And so that CD that you guys see signed behind me is the booklet from that CD from that I got when I was six that I got signed in New York. It's a full moment. So this album's so important to me. And so we're going to do a track by track now. We'll start with the intro because the intro is still a track.
It's definitely a track.
B-Rocka intro.
This is real serious. What are you playing?
This is giving me Y2K, the computer is in technology era. You know, Dark Child said that when he was working on the production of this album, he was so inspired by UK garage and that kind of sound. And you hear it so much in little things like this, like just the instrumentals that are used. I don't know. And I love it. I think it's especially because back in that time, the first single was so big, right? What About Us? Yeah. That's what everybody knew. So you heard a little bit of What About Us in the intro and it gets people hyped for the record. And it's a fun start, I feel.
So this was 2001, 2002. So it's right after Y2K. That was the sound. That was the thing right then. in my day.
It's like TLC fan mail. It kind of reminds me a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of just jump right into it. Full Moon.
Came up late. Swinging. How is that your first track? How is that your first full track on the album?
She said it was real serious in the intro. That's how.
How is it? I mean, she kicked the dough down with that damn Full Moon.
We'll be right back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Blast off with Space Vacation the Musical as the Bloom family from the bright yellow planet takes a wild, weird, and wonderful intergalactic summer vacation. With original songs and stellar comedy, their trip goes delightfully haywire. Fun and adventure for all ages. Space Vacation the Musical on all podcast platforms now. Subscribe today.
She really did. And Mike City produced, written. What a great collaboration. Was this the first time they worked together? Do you guys know?
I'm not sure.
Honestly, I'm not sure about that.
Because
I know they did.
Ever I know was a big Dark Child situation, and I think it may have been. And like, what a start of a working relationship! What a song,
right? Yeah. And I feel like this was a start of a different kind of sound for her. This is my favorite album, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned it already. It's my absolute favorite Brandy album for many reasons.
I think
you might have
mentioned it.
I might have. Okay.
Maybe once, maybe twice.
Just checking. And if I didn't say it yet, this is my favorite album. Okay. But one of the reasons is because of this sound. Like, it was the first time her voice changed a little bit, you know? So she didn't sound like baby Brandy, who we love, but like on her debut album, she's got that baby voice. On Never Say Never, she has like that sweet angelic voice. And then she starts singing Full Moon and she's sexy. She's raspy.
Yeah, she's an
adult grown woman. And I was 15 feeling it because I thought I was a grown woman too. A little bit. But I think that this song like solidified like, hey, I am a grown woman. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Now let's go. Let me show you what the rest of the album is about to be about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just melodically, like this, like it's just so catchy. It's mm-hmm. one of those songs that I always say it kind of has the perfect blend of pop and R&B because mm-hmm. you listen to it and it's so catchy like a pop song, but it still is not compromising her R&B integrity at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's still like a fun and upbeat party song. It's kind of like the perfect 2000s R&B single. If you kind of look back at those big singles, I think Full Moon is definitely in that group there.
For sure. I feel like you can hear Full Moon in other artists' songs, you know, like around that time, a little bit after. Even Destiny's Child was kind of chasing Brandy a little bit.
A little bit.
So a lot of it?
A lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. So all of us have seen her perform this live. Do you ladies have a favorite performance that you've seen her do this live?
A Full Moon?
That's so hard.
Full Moon is one of those songs that she feels comfortable in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she goes a little bit extra off naturally because she's comfortable there. She's picked out a comfortable range to sing it in. Mm-hmm. She got just enough dance moves to go into the performance. So she be feeling herself.
Yeah, and it gets the crowd going. It's one of the songs that still gets the crowd going, but she still feels comfortable enough to sing all these years later. Because you know our queens love to do songs that aren't always in their key that last forever. Mm-hmm. I am referring to Mariah, but it's fine.
I know who you're talking about, but I wasn't going to say it because we're on a whole different show.
But something that I love about Brandy is I feel like she knew when she was young doing some of these songs, she's like, I want to be able to sing this when I'm 45. Do you know what I mean? And she still sounds just as perfect. Because this was a big song. This had a video. This was on TRL. This had performances. Do you guys have any memories of any performances? Because for me, there is one that stands out. And it's the one where she is completely barefoot performing on TV because she was 7 months pregnant on Oprah. Iconic. Do you guys have any memories of any of those, or even just the video things that you associate?
Because honestly, for us, everything is memory in for the Full Moon era. Everything is memory in the Full Moon era.
I remember when it happened. Did I cut you off, Nick? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Casey. Go ahead.
Because I do, and I literally remember. Yeah. The house that I grew up in, we had a red carpet in our living room. And I remember sitting on the red carpet. That's not really a great thing, but it was a thing. I remember sitting on the red carpet, looking up and watching that Oprah performance. Mm-hmm. That was definitely one for me. Seeing her pregnant and performing, I just love that. She also was pregnant at the same time as my sister. So I don't know. I thought it was cool.
It's destiny.
Right. And then the other performance around that time was, I forget if it was a Jay Leno or Conan O'Brien, but it was one of like the late night shows. And I remember that my parents let me stay up to watch it because I was like dying. And it was a school night, but they let me stay up.
Okay.
I was like, I promise I'll get everything done. I'll get up on time tomorrow. Like, please, can I just stay up and watch it? And again, just sitting down watching her sing and just sound so good. And there's something about the way a pregnant woman sings. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but like all of my artists that I love, when they were pregnant, they were just like on their game and sounded so good. And I think that's part of the reason why this album is so good, because something spiritually happens to you when you're pregnant, but that's for another show. But those two performances, the Oprah performance, like you said, and definitely whatever that late night was, I forget if it was,
I think Conan it was O'Brien
or Jay Leno. Yeah, it probably was. He was the, you know, the big one then.
It was the Jimmy Fallon. This was a big hit. And then I think it was number 16 on the Hot 100, like a big hit. One of my favorites as well. It'll go down in history as one of my favorite Brandy songs. As I can remember as a little boy, always seeing the music video on TV and just being absolutely in love with her and wanting to be in the convertible. Just driving around that night.
I know.
It gives me kickback vibes for sure. Like,
you know,
it gives me kickback vibes. Like, basement party type of.
I smoked to it right before we started recording.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, well, this and then a song in a bit that we'll talk about. Speaking of an iconic song, I don't even think the word iconic expresses how much I feel about this song. I Thought
is honestly one of my favorite Brandy songs. Like, it's just, I can't even like really get
it. It's one of those that circles back around. Listen, and hits differently.
It hits different
every few years. It hits different. It's like you feel it in a different way every few years because it can apply to so much. Mm-hmm. And it was flawlessly written with the, because we were just talking about this when we were listening earlier, with the refrains in the background, the no you didn't, and the yes I did. Like, that's,
she went off.
That, yes, you did. No, yes, you didn't.
That's crazy. You know, something that I think about this song, I think, of course, the lyrics and the melody and the song, great, but it's her delivery.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I always say, so I'll use Janet Jackson as an example, right? Because she just had her big documentary. She has a very soft singing voice, but then you hear a song like Black Cat, it's mm-hmm. the delivery and the way that she chose to sing it. And you were like, wait, that's Janet. This is almost like, this isn't the Brandy that we're used to hearing. She's mm-hmm. using a different part of her voice.
She was sassy.
Yes.
She was spicy.
The attitude. She was spicy. Yeah. Exactly. Now getting to see it live. I got to see it live with all of you guys when we went to the show.
I know.
And she performs it like so.
She means it.
Should have been a single. My vote for should have been a single from this album. This is one of mine.
You can add it to my tally too.
This is one of mine for sure. What do you guys think a video would have even looked like if they wouldn't have done one?
Oh my gosh. Ooh. I can picture her just like throwing somebody's laptop, their shoes, everything. Although it'll be a very big laptop from 2002. Yeah. Think about it. But just like kicking his shit out. Like, you gotta go. You said you were gonna do these things and you didn't. You promised, but you didn't. Get out.
What's that song with Monica, with your MacBook in your face?
It All Belongs to Me. Maybe that's where the idea came
you
from.
Know?
You're right.
It could have predated that. It could have predated that.
Exactly. Maybe that's where the concept came from, you know?
Okay, so the next song is a big one for me. This is my favorite Brandy song, actually. For me, the reason it's my favorite Brandy song, it's the vocals. The vocals. That's all I'm gonna say. The vocals. When You Touch Me, Rodney Jerkins, produced, co-written. All of you guys had an intense reaction to this. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna stay quiet for a minute because I'm curious to hear everyone's different experience with this song.
Keisha's raising her hand in praise, so I think she should go first.
And Keisha is Ray J on this song.
Because I love When You Touch Me. Like, this is a When You Touch Me stand account. Like, I love this song so much. Because I agree with Mikey about it being the vocals, but I think also the arrangement. Like, we have to get into the background. We have to get into the lead. We have to get into the ad-libs. Like, the way that the song is put together is just so genius. Like, it's just such, like, genuinely a good song. Like, everything about it, like, sis just did not miss at all when the song was crafted.
Keisha, you are spot on with the backgrounds. Now, that's a Brandy thing in general that I have always loved about her is the backgrounds, and that she's doing her backgrounds and she pays close attention, and the lady knows how to stack. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this song in particular, like you said, the backgrounds are crazy.
Like butter. It's like silky.
Butter, like butter, baby.
When you get high.
Oh,
and you listen to that one and all three of those major parts break apart in your mind. And you
it's crazy. There's this one note. There's this one note and I can't sing. So I'm sorry that you're going to have to hear this, but I
want it. Give
none
it to
of us can.
But it's okay. Give so it it's right.
Us.
It's right after the second chorus when she goes, you know, the it's like,
yes, you
know it.
You better follow that run.
That's
you
the best know. Part.
It's you like, better follow that one.
What was she thinking in the studio when she did that?
It's like
she had a baby in her belly and it was a sensual experience. I'm telling you, something happens to women when they're pregnant. I'm just saying.
Here she goes.
It was a sensual experience and she gave it to us and we have it forever.
And I'm grateful. And I'm
here.
So I have a little bit of a risque question for all of you.
Oh God.
The answer is yes. I know what the question is, and the answer is yes.
One of my number one go-to songs is When You Touch Me by Brandy.
The answer is yes.
Wait, okay, so ladies, have you guys made love to When You Touch Me?
The answer. Yes.
Well, we all know Casey's answer, ladies.
She's the married one on this in this here conversation. Right. Yes, it's always her answer. But well, that's a yes and no answer, because yes would mean that I made love.
Well, you know what I mean. We're talking family.
We didn't, friendly, yeah, obviously. Right. Yeah, we didn't get into all of that. So Unique's answer is yes.
Keisha? Okay, perfect. Keisha?
I'm not sure if I have. It's been reflecting, yeah. And I'm not sure if I have.
Because I would argue this is one of the best romantic slow jams ever recorded. I really would argue that. I think it's so ridiculously beautiful. That's my personal opinion.
We'll be right back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
I definitely reserve. This is not on the Sneaky Link playlist.
Oh, no.
This is you and your
This is you and somebody that you're really, you know, you're more than feeling somebody that you, you know, want to be something with, something, you know, yeah. Or you're already that. But I'm talking in 26-year-old talk, Casey. I'm sorry, none of us else.
It's okay. It's okay.
Sorry for us. What you talking about?
I think that this also could have been a beautiful video as well. I really mm-hmm. could have seen Brandy, because this was the first time of her getting very sexy in her music. Mm-hmm. If you really think mm-hmm. about it. She's a woman now. As Casey says, she's pregnant, so she's feeling everything. Thank you, Brandy, for making this song. I just want to say
Thanks.
Agreed. And I think half of the R&B world would agree. I always see this song come up with other artists, you know, all over the place, people.
I once saw one person sing this, I think it was on Instagram. It is Miss Tamar Braxton. She sounded so absolutely beautiful when she was singing this song. I was like, holy shit. Like,
and you know, she's another fave of mine.
If you can sound good singing this song, you do got some chops on you.
Listen, you gifted it.
So I once heard Brandy say in an interview when she was recording this record that when Whitney was listening to Never Say Never, she was like, why aren't you using more power in your voice? Why aren't you using more this in your voice? And she said that when she was recording Full Moon, she remembered that conversation. Mm-hmm. And she went into the studio with that. And I think that we hear it in the song.
I'd agree.
Moving on to another very sensual track. She is in her sexy bag on this record, Like This, which is written and produced Rodney Jerkins, Fred Jerkins III, LaShawn Daniels, the amazing LaShawn Daniels, and co-written by Brandy herself. Please touch me like this. Ladies, how do we feel?
What I have to say is that I love how When You Touch Me goes into Like This. I'm a fan of albums, right? So these days... I love you, Mikey. These days, I'm just saying, albums aren't really made as one cohesive project. One of my favorite albums, sidebar from Brandy, is Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. That album is one long song. So I'm a huge fan. If I hear in another album that, like, there's a theme here. They're going into each other. And it was thought about the way the songs were put together. They weren't just thrown together.
Very Jen.
This is like the very, very, this is like the perfect example of that, from When You Touch Me, just like slides into Like This. It's so good. That's like my favorite thing in the world.
It's the don't. It just fits so well. I mean, you feel it. You feel it in the groove. It's so groovy and funky and yet smooth and yet still upbeat. The vocals are amazing.
Listen, I like the, what's the right word? It's not range. The best way to describe it is not as loud of a song, right? I like the softness of this song the vocals are still very much strong, very much get into it. It just makes you want to touch all on somebody.
It really does. It,
well, talk about it then.
Let's talk about it.
It really makes you, like this. It makes you want to touch all on somebody like this.
You know, it's almost like when you touch me, it's like the sensual side, like you said. And then like, this is like, all right, now we're going to have some fun.
Yes. It's a post-brunch song, honestly.
And there's something to be said about a woman in that time being able to take control of her sexuality and be like, I know exactly how I like it. And there's nothing wrong with me talking about how I like it. It's human nature, as Madonna once sang about. And, you know, please touch me like this. I know that me personally, I know exactly what that this is. So I'm sure Brandy knew what that this is. Shout out to LaShawn Daniels for the amazing vocals, additional vocals, Big Shiz. Rest in peace, Big Shiz. Or the amazing, beautiful vocals on the song that we hear as well. He sounds so great. And him and Brandy, their vocal harmony is just unmatched.
Chef's kiss.
This is an important song to point that out. It's a stellar song. We're five songs into this record and she is just hitting it out.
I mean,
and still tasteful, might we add.
Sexy yet classy.
Not a skip to be had.
Not a skip to be had. And
who do you know is having like such a strong first five song run? You're not getting that no more. Like,
other than some faves, you know, that we all share here. I mean, Tamar, Mariah, Janet, Britney. But they're all icons too. But who else?
It's not happening anymore. It's not happening anymore because everything's about singles. It's not about the cohesiveness of a record. It's not about the vibe because there was actually a story that was being told here. There's no story being told anymore. Now it's just a collection of things because I want to try to find a hit. Cardi B, I'm going to use her as an example. All these hits, just one album. It's been how many years? It's just a mess if you look at it. And when you look back in history, and that's not to be shady. I'm literally just objectively, right? It looks messy when you look back. It doesn't look as legendary as Brandy's only had seven albums, but the amount of respect.
Quality.
Thank you. Quality. And speaking of quality,
not quantity.
Speaking of quality, All In Me, number six. Again, we're continuing with the amazing trio of Rodney, LaShawn, Fred Jerkins. Hit it out of the park. One of the more, I want to say, futuristic sounding songs on the album. I don't know what it is.
I would say it's definitely futuristic. There's all that little in the background.
So we were talking about how we feel like Camper was trying to mirror that MB7. He was trying to play to that.
See what you mean, though. It is very reminiscent of.
They were trying to give the All In Me vibes, the vibes that some of these songs on Full Moon have.
So if we're talking about stories, right? Again, Full Moon is my favorite, but they're two different stories.
A great track, and moving on to another song, another great song, Apart, which was co-written by Keith Crouch, who worked on the first record. So she's bringing back a little bit of the OGs here. Casey's holding back, so just talk, girl. Come on.
I love this song. This is very high on my list.
Yes.
I think, too, I get emotional connections with songs. And listen, my 15-year-old self at that time was away about some little boy. I probably don't even remember who he is now, but I just know like I have an emotional connection to this song. And you know what I think is funny about this song is that it sounds to me like it could be on Afro. Like it just doesn't it? Like it gives me aphrodisiac vibes. Just like the way that she's singing, and it's like she kind of goes from one note to another. Like she kind of doesn't take like a breath. She just kind of like moves in. Yeah. I love this song. It's very high on my list. And it's like, you know what? I'm not doing what pleases you. So go ahead, sir. You can go ahead. I'll be fine. We'll be better off. You know? I'm not going to give y'all a vocal, okay? But that was good.
I give you my best Andrea Bocelli, everybody. I give you my best.
I definitely is one of those that could have been a single or that I could have gotten a video for in hindsight, for sure. And like I said, like Casey was saying, it's, you know, it's a song where she kind of sways from one note to the next. And I think that creates a different type of vibe. Like, you kind of, in some moments, if you really just let go and get into the beat of the song, you kind of forget you're singing about a breakup. Like, that's how it kind of takes over your body.
For sure, it really does. And another one where her delivery, I feel like, has a huge part in why it is what it is. But also just, I'm amazed at all the little elements that they used in the production of these songs. And even this one, because this one is not done by Dark Child, but yet it still has the same kind of futuristic sounds that the other songs have. And it shows that she had a vision for the album and it fits perfectly. So moving on to the next track, which is another big futuristic sounding song, Can We?
There are some good runs in this too.
Some good ones. Mm-hmm. Has she ever done this live?
No.
No, and I wish she would. She should.
She needs to just do a whole 20th anniversary concert and run this, the album.
This is what I have been saying. Please say it again. I have been saying this.
Brandy, Planet 2000 is requesting a 20th anniversary concert. We want to see a tiny desk, Brandy. I don't know what it has to be. We all want to see this. Please, please do this, Brandy. Come
from
on.
Top to bottom, we need
from
it.
From top to bottom.
I'm even going to need Ray J on Die Without You. I need from start to finish. All
that. I need the entire thing. I think that the thing with Can We is it's a great song. I don't think it could have been a single. I think it's just one of the songs that just fits with the album, helps piece the album together. Is a great lead into What About Us. This was the time when they kind of put a lot of the songs on the album that they recorded.
As far as flowing into songs, I do like the way that this flows into What About Us again.
This is like a appreciated slow hump in the album. Like, it's an it kind of slows you down a bit, and then the next song comes up is What About Us, and it's like, boom. Like,
now back to it.
We're kicking this shit back into gear.
It's like a little bit of an
intermission.
Almost,
but like Unique said, appreciated intermission. Because it's good.
Because I love a Can We, okay? Can We? Especially
coming out the runs.
Yeah.
Especially coming out of a part. Like,
The runs do it for me in Can We.
She always delivers. One of the most iconic songs from the 2000s, in my opinion, definitely R&B songs, top 10 smash. Platinum selling album, platinum selling single, iconic video. What About Us?
Come on. What Unique. I know you have feelings about this because I've seen you in action when this song comes on.
So have I.
Listen, What About Us? What, she had questions on that song. Okay. Yes. She needed answers. She needed answers. She said, what about? Us.
Things that you said.
What about the things that you said? What about the ice?
What about the promises that you made?
Because people have been debating it, whether it's ice or if it's nice. And I wish that we would let it go.
It's ice.
Okay. Hold on.
Ice that you gave.
Hold on. I have the lyrics in front of my face.
That's the girl who's been writing all of this. People love to.
Because now you have me confused.
Okay. It's all. What about all of the nights that you gave?
No!
Who says this? Is this Google?
No, this is the album.
Oh.
This is the album.
Say, can we
out.
Check on that?
Right. Okay. Correct me.
Printed with permission.
Lies that you gave. Is that correct? Now I feel like I need to check every line.
A dramatic reading of the course.
Let's go. This is about my favorite part of the podcast.
What about all of the things that you say? What about all of the promises that you made? What about all the nights that you gave? What about all of the things you told me? What about all of the things that you say? What about all the promises that you made? What about all of the nights that you gave? What about?
What about us? But
so no lies. There's no
and
lies
she
in it.
Them.
No. So you're thinking at the end,
Okay.
You're thinking Lies That You Gave? It's Nights That You Gave. That's literally what we're hearing. Nights That You Gave. Maybe.
Well, you know what? I've been singing this song for 22 years now. I'm going to keep singing it the way I was singing.
I think she meant Nights That You Gave, like nights, like nights that we spent together, nights when you touched me.
Right. Like this. Yeah, I think, how are you going to do that?
How are you going to do that? What About Us? Like,
What About Us?
I was insulted when Pink came out with a single called What About Us. I was like, how dare you? This is already taken. This doesn't belong to anyone but Brandy. And then people are getting confused and I didn't like it. This song to me, I remember like it was yesterday, it being the biggest hit. We used to have Much Music in Canada. That was the Canadian MTV. That's where I watched everything. That's where I learned every single video. Brandy did interviews with Much Music. That's how I knew who she was. So it was a video that played all the time. That's how I knew that this album was coming out. To me, it's such an important song and video because it's, as much as I was introduced to Brandy with Cinderella and The Boy Is Mine, I didn't own her albums. Like, it wasn't any of that. What About Us is the song that got me to, I need to have her music.
You know? That's interesting.
It's a big
one. Was TRL. Like,
this was top of the charts up there with J-Lo and Britney and all the ones who were top of the charts at the time. Brandy was right up there with What About Us.
Yeah.
This was big.
I love to see her perform this one, you know, now. That's another song that she gets into like her lower range when she's performing it live. And she gets like to that end and she's like, what about us? Like,
go off.
What?
Listen, we know that you need Brandy vocals, and when she feels a song and she feels that she needs to respond, I'll never forget that moment at the concert in Toronto when Almost Doesn't Count was on, and you were responding to the lyrics.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
And the lady behind us was mad.
Done. She was
and
done.
They're just going to have to stay mad because one thing's for sure and two things for certain, when it comes to a concert for Miss Brandy Rihanna Norwood, I am going to have something to say.
Okay.
I'm going to have something to say, and she's going to hear me, and we're going to have a conversation on the stage.
Yeah. And what about this is one of those, I think, because you're asking, what the fuck happened? What about
literally?
We need to know.
What about it?
So she has a co-write on the song. Mm-hmm. She was in a beautiful relationship at the time, it seemed. Do you think that it wasn't so beautiful?
I think when it was good, it was good. Do you guys remember the show, the reality TV show that they had? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The one where she was having baby girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they show, you know, like leading up to that. Of course, TV is TV, but, you know, he seems
very loving. I work in TV,
loving.
Guys. I'm here to tell you.
I know.
I'm here to tell you all. They told them before what they want them to do. And that's
Right. But here's what I'll say. I mean, you can only fake so much. You can tell vibes no matter if people are acting or not. And I think all relationships are good when they're good. And then when they're no longer good or they no longer serve you, then you forget those things, you know? And like, you don't really hear Brandy saying bad things about him. They just went their separate ways. So I feel like there's a lot of talk about this relationship and everything that happened. And it's a big deal. They feel like that, you know, Brandy lied about being married.
Because when we get to aphrodisiac, you know, he starts talking and
there's that, but she never said much, you know. In general, relationships go the way that they go. And can you imagine being somebody where everything you do is amplified by a million because everybody's watching you?
No. Mm-hmm.
So she lied about being married. It wasn't anybody's business to begin with. The shame is that how the industry makes people feel that they have to lie about something like that. And don't even get me started about Britney Spears, because Mikey and I will be here for hours and you guys will be done with us. But that's what the industry does to people.
And also at the time too, she was America's sweetheart. She was. She was picture perfect golden child for what every little girl should be, you know, growing up to be. So, you know, there was definitely all of this personal pressure around her to create this story because
Think about all three of your stories. In the beginning, you all shared your story of how you, you know, were introduced to Brandy. It was Cinderella, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Cinderella supposed to be having a baby out of wedlock? Yeah. Oh my gosh, no, you know, so.
Especially in the early 2000s when, you know, the way that women were just written about and portrayed was so fucked up.
Well, we'll be here forever if we start, if we go down forever. That rabbit hole, but I agree.
But you know what? Like Brandy, and you said Britney, it was the same exact time. It was the same exact time, the late 90s, early 2000s. They're pretty much the same age. So it's it's not like Brandy wasn't susceptible to all of those same undue influences. I think the difference is why Brandy didn't end up in Britney's position is her family actually cares about her and has always been in her corner and has always been there to support Brandy. Brandy's always been very vocal about how close she is with her family and how important they are to her. I mean, Ray J's on this goddamn album, for God's sakes. Right. But you know, it was
Mama was not playing that with anyone in the industry. So
listen, she was not playing. She was protecting her babies. She was protecting her babies. What are you supposed to do? But you know, like we see with how What About Us did on the charts, she was a megastar. So this was a very big time in her career, and What About Us was the start of that. All right, back to the album, number 10. Anybody, the lyrics to this song are
Sneaky Link
anthem.
Very sneaky.
Sneaky Link anthem.
I think that was a nice change of pace for where the album has been going thus far. She's been all up and down the roller coaster with this one, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he was the sneaky link or if she found a different sneaky link.
Well, you know what?
Maybe she found a sneaky link because of the situation that was going on.
I know that's right.
I don't know if we've all been there, but I know I may have. But
Moving on.
This is giving me TLC creep vibes. It's like, we're gonna do our thing. No, but then you can also look at it on the sense of maybe it didn't have to be like a sketchy thing. Maybe it was literally just her and she's with somebody. And you know, because a lot of the time, like I know for me, one of my biggest regrets in any relationship I've ever had in the previous was being too public about it and being too much on social media about it, because I felt that I invited the negative energy in. And there's a time in a relationship where it should really just be you and the person. Like, obviously, once you get married and you have your life, your new life that you're building, that's a different thing. But when you're getting to know someone the first year or a couple of years, whatever, I feel like sometimes you want those moments to be just between you guys. Maybe that's a new way that I'm thinking, because I feel like that's played a huge part in why things didn't work out for me in previous relationships. But I don't know, like I saw Janet Jackson's documentary recently and she was like getting married secretly. And I was just like, honestly, energy. Like, I think that that's what I think I'm going to be having to do next, because I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Are you big on that? I'm big on energy and evil lying and all that stuff.
I definitely agree. I feel like when you give people too much information, you also give them the right to have an opinion.
Yep.
Fair enough. I am a sharer, so I kind of like have to find a balance. Like, I don't share too many details.
Selectively.
Yeah, because I mean, and then also too, if you get to trying to share all the details, we'll be here all day. Like, there's no possible way. I don't know, because I just, in general, don't even think that there are people or forces like looking to bring negativity to anything that
you
I'm
don't?
Sure. No, I generally don't
think that. Oh, I do.
The face.
The face.
Listen, I'm Moroccan. Listen, in Moroccan culture, it's a very big thing. It's like... The Khamsa and the evil eye. It's like, I don't even have mine on right now and it gives me anxiety. I was a server for years, and whenever I didn't wear my evil eye necklace, I just felt it. When you interact with so many people, the energy that people give up, yo, that shit is fucking contagious. And when somebody has it out for you, they can send negativity your way. You can call me fucking crazy, but I believe that shit, and call me superstitious, but...
Can you hit that again for us?
Superstitious.
I don't think you're crazy. I think that's just individual preference, individual difference. Like, you know, that's
a Brandy, we don't want.
That's what makes you feel good.
We don't want no one to know. We want to keep, so it's secret love. Some all of this just to say I understand where she's coming from in this song.
Yeah. Oh, I love a sneaky link.
Sneaky link.
Listen, I love a good sneaky link. Okay.
But when you say Sneaky Link, it sleazifies it. Like Sneaky Link thinks of like the BL guys that I'm talking to. Like
I definitely agree with that. Right. I do feel like this might have been a situation where it's like, I really do care for you, but I don't want to tell everybody because every time I tell somebody, they ruin it for me.
You know? Thank you.
But just the term Sneaky Link don't have to mean, you know what I'm saying?
It don't have to have negative context.
Yeah, it don't have to have negative context. Your Sneaky Link is your Sneaky Link. Whether y'all just Sneaky Link into, you know, boom, boom, bam, thank you, ma'am. Or if y'all Sneaky Linking like, y'all really have something, you know, kind of solid that y'all working on. Y'all just like the song say, don't want anybody to know. Did we decide that? But the way she's asking, didn't we decide, makes me feel like this is a wham, bam, thank you, man.
Exactly. That's what it's given.
Because
he wanted to come out with him. She's like, wait a minute. Didn't we decide that?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, don't tell nobody.
Yeah, you can massage yourself, partner.
But she's talking about like she's like, you say, Letta, you're not ready to make a commitment to me. It will take some time. So it's basically saying like, she seems like she wants it. He just doesn't want it, but she still
stays. It's not that I don't love you. I just can't be. But I do understand the thought around the, wait a minute now, didn't we decide that? But in the very beginning of the song, she says, it's not that I don't love you. I just can't the be explaining to everybody why you hurt me.
She couldn't have the man at in full, so she was getting her cheeks clapped, and then he got too happy.
This is the part that you
yeah, got. I got my a couple days ago. I'm still thinking about that shit, so hey.
Girl, it's okay. Yes. Then we just, at the beginning of the album, we was commending her for how she was owning her sexuality.
We were.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Absolutely.
Listen, she got pregnant.
It happens.
She was getting them cheeks clapped.
Like clappity clapped. Okay.
Clappity clap. Can I also say that the second half of the album, in large part, I feel or hear like a little Aaliyah too.
I do too.
Yeah.
No, she loves Aaliyah.
We're going to get
into it. She loves Aaliyah.
The next one, Nothing.
This is my absolute all time favorite Brandy song.
Really? Of every song?
Of any song. If you ask me today, it's going to be Nothing. If you ask me when this album came out, it would be Nothing. It is the most beautiful Brandy song. I'm going to stick beside it forever. There has not been another Brandy song that has ever topped it for me. And I can listen to it over and over and over again. There's just something... the richness in her voice. I love a sad song anyway.
Me too.
Oh my gosh. It's everything for me. It's everything.
Oh my God.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a sad one. I love a sad moment. It's just one of those songs that you just want to cry to when you need a good cry.
Right. It's like she's like in desperation. Like, oh, nothing. No one. I'm so...
Come on.
Absolutely not. Just know in the shower.
Didn't I say you crying on the
It goes down.
She was crying. Yeah, she was definitely crying on this one.
Early 2000s crying on this one. She was crying. And I loved it.
She gave us pain. Like, you know how Toni Braxton's known for singing Pain? Brandy gave us Pain.
Yeah. And that's that connection that you have to music when it makes you feel something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can feel it, I don't think she could ever top this song for me ever in life.
Has she ever performed? I've never seen her do this. Have you ever gotten the chance to see her do this live?
No, I would die. And I actually asked her why she has not performed it and when she would perform it. And she said,
so she did do a little of Nothing live once.
When I was around.
Yeah, no, you weren't there. It was, she kind of put it in a, I remember her putting it in a melody of a, you know, of a few songs.
But she didn't sing it from top to bottom.
No, you know.
Right.
Well, what did she say? Why won't she do it?
She said that vocally it's a hard song to sing live.
Of course.
But there's nothing that's hard for Brandy. That's what she says, but it's not true.
I was gonna say, I swear she does way harder.
She sings, right, and she does He Is. And I feel like He Is is the same kind of
sex. It's the same. I feel like it sounds like a song. But who are we to talk? She's the vocalist.
Right. She's the vocal Bible. But she absolutely could do it. Come on.
It's, she can do the national anthem a cappella.
Okay, I number 12. It's Not Worth It.
Baby, it's not
come on.
So good.
Come on. You know, I never knew that as a child listening to this, I never realized that it was I guess you can't, if you don't have the musical ear yet, I was very young, you know, I didn't hear Michael yet, but now it's like all I hear.
Yeah.
When I listen to this song.
It's not worth it.
I'm
sing
it. And I'm not a fan usually of a sample, but Brandy could sample any and everybody.
Well,
and
you guys, I want to point out that I'm literally looking at the credits for this song. Mm-hmm. And it literally says all vocals by Brandy. All music by Rodney Darkchild. Additional vocals by Michael Jackson.
I know that.
It's in the album liner notes.
Mm-hmm. And big I have peeped that.
She had big bands.
Because y'all's fans could never.
Who? Could never Michael Jackson doing additional vocals.
Well, we all know that Darkchild had just worked on Invincible with Michael around this time. So I'm sure there had to have been some intertwining of the vocal sessions. Do we know if this was the first time she, I know the first time she met Michael was in the studio. Was it this time or was it earlier in her career? Do we know?
I do not know that, but I have seen her talk about it. And remember she was talking about how Ray J was there with her.
I'm going to find the clip and insert it right here.
Sir Rodney Jerkins was working with Michael Jackson at the time.
Michael Jackson was it. So we studied Michael. Brandy studied Michael.
He knew how much I wanted to meet Michael Jackson. So he says, would you like to come and meet him? And I'm like, are you serious? Of course I want to meet Michael Jackson. Like, where do I meet you? Like, where do we come? So we meet at the studio and my producer's like, are you guys ready to meet Michael Jackson?
So that makes me wonder, was it this, you know, were they all in the studio working together? You know, maybe they were, you know, working on a couple different songs.
It could have also been when she did the Quincy Project, Rock With You, mm-hmm. which was 96 or 97, around there. What a fucking flex.
Flex.
What a flex.
And a flex that she doesn't pull. Like, I feel like other artists would be like, oh, and by the way,
I have a song with Michael Jackson singing on it, and she doesn't. Well, she doesn't need to because
the studio or not, it happened.
She's right. A legend.
Because honestly, the thing is that her vocals, her execution is a flex in and of itself. Like she don't. How J. Cole was bragging for a long time about going platinum with no features. Like she don't need no help vocally. So the fact that when she do pull in additional vocals, it's Michael Jackson, it's collabing with Mariah Carey.
Oh, I can't wait.
Don't even get me started
with that. Are you fucking kidding me?
Got Michael started.
I'd have riled you up.
We all know how I feel about Mariah. I have my lamb set up here. I don't know if you can see. I'm a Mariah Carey stan. The fact that they're doing a song together, that, listen, I saw Silent tweet about it, so they can't tell me shit. I know it happened.
It definitely happened.
It happened. Now, when we're going to hear the proof of it, I don't know. Listen, I know that I better prepare myself.
That know that there's hope.
That in itself, I could die right now, to be honest with you.
Maybe I did. Maybe I am dead.
Not maybe I am dead.
It's possible. But yeah, so she's just no stranger to working with legends since the beginning of her career, and the proof is in the fucking pudding. Number 13, He Is. I don't know where the fuck to start with He Is because it's so perfect. So I'm just going to let you guys start with He Is because I can't right now.
I love a simple beat, strong vocal.
Yeah.
We all know this about me. I'm very proud about my simple beat, strong vocal love. And He is one of those songs. Like, I mean, obviously she gets into the intricacies and she has all of those layers in that song, but like the first half, three quarters of it, of just the simple verse and chorus are so like, damn, can I walk down the aisle now?
Yeah.
Like, it's so beautiful.
A song that I feel gives me hope about love and about really finding that comfort in somebody, and mm-hmm. almost like a little bit of a warm hug when you hear the song. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I picture
it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is good. Did you know this song is about God?
No.
Yeah. And that's what, that's, it absolutely is. So it was written by, is it Warren, Warren Campbell
that so wrote it? The co-writes are Warren Campbell, Harold Lilly Jr. And Brandy.
Yes. And you know who Warren Campbell is, right? So, you know, he is married to one of the Marys of Mary Mary. So, you know, their whole
ministry. All I know about Mary Mary. Listen, I'm a Jewish boy from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. All I know about Mary Mary is the song Praise You, because it was a hit on Much Music.
And that's quite all right. But if you notice on, now don't quote me, I probably should have did this research beforehand, but all of Brandy's albums have a song that's about God. It seems like it might be about a relationship.
Yeah,
it does. But on each, right, but it is about God. I have a special connection. I think, Nick, you probably know this, but I actually have these lyrics tattooed on my body with my husband's initials. Because it definitely could be I'll show you.
And then we'll explain for the listeners. So it says, my loving and my friend, my lover, my one, he is in the initials. My king, my friend, my love. Oh.
I know, right? But it definitely is, it was written about God, but it definitely could, I feel like it's interchangeable, because that's, you know, a strong love either way, but.
It's Christian R&B.
Christian R&B. You can go with that.
But you know what? Like, I feel like, because I've always struggled with this as a Jewish kid. I was like, I was never allowed to listen to Christmas music, but I loved it so much. And I was like, but why do I have to associate it with, why can't I just enjoy a beautiful vocal about a spiritual experience? I can just relate it to my own spiritual, you know what I mean? So I feel like, even when I hear like gospel, like I feel like I could listen to gospel music and I can still feel that connection just as much as anything, you know, you just associate, you know, you feel the power of music. That's the beauty of music. Was a single. I've heard it in the grocery store. It was definitely sent to radio stations. Do you think, because this is something I always wondered with the Full Moon album. I understand she had her baby, but she had her baby in June and she got her body back real quick because she was at the MTV VMAs in August 2002, titties lactating together.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Up in that little fringy dress.
The titties were
tittying.
They were.
Okay.
Look at them sitting upright.
So we know she had her body back. She could have done a video. Why do you think there wasn't a video? I don't think it was her choice. And it's interesting to me that the label would have made that choice because this is a platinum selling album that went number two and one of her highest selling records. Why did it stop so abruptly?
I do not have a direct answer at all. And this is strictly opinion. I can't say why I think it happened, but what I can say is I feel like this happens with all of her albums. Mm-hmm. That
up until this point, it hadn't. That's why I'm saying this is so important.
True, that is true. The first it started here.
Got full rollout, right. 4 or 5+ singles. Why did it stop here? Because this wasn't, it wasn't like this wasn't a hit. It was a hit.
Right. I think her team dropped the ball.
I feel like they were no longer wanting to put the, because up until this point, R&B music was seen just as commercial as pop and hip hop and everything, just as commercial. I feel like in the mid 2000s is when we started to see the shift, and they weren't putting as much money into these artists that they were like, oh, well, it's not going to be what it is and whatever. We'll just let it go. Because I don't think that Brandy would have consciously made the decision not to continue promoting the record. I think it was out of her hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
But it's a shame because you look at a body of work like this, like there could have been so much more.
Yeah.
This next song, so we just did He Is, we know it's iconic. This next song is actually a very big favorite of mine. It's also in my lovemaking playlist, but it's even more than just a lovemaking song. It's literally just a song that makes me feel great. It's just so beautiful. It's just beautiful to listen to. I love the instrumentals. I love the vocals. I love the message of the song, of it being about one last night before that big goodbye. Come a little closer. Come a little bit closer.
Honestly, you said so much.
I know.
It really is just a beautiful song. Even just the way that she's singing and emoting, like it's just beautiful and soft and feminine. It's a beautiful song.
It's one of those kind of like, lay on your boo's chest type of
it's hold me
yeah
hold me vibes
yeah
It's Hold Me Vibes, Valentine's Day. Well, by the time this episode comes out, Valentine's Day will have just passed, but we're recording it. Valentine's Day is coming up. It's a Valentine song.
It is.
It's one of those, like this, how I was saying, like, the vocals are very, like, still strong and powerful, but it's a very soft song.
I love when she just uses the soft vocals. I say this about Christina Aguilera all the time. She belts and belts and belts, but when she just strips back and just sings softly, so beautiful. And I love listening to that.
Yeah.
Agree, 100%.
The next song on the album is a song she co-wrote, another one. Brandy was starting to co-write a lot on this record, so Love Wouldn't Count Me Out.
Listen to me. The dramatics of this song. This gives me like Tomorrow from Never Say Never. It gives me Tomorrow vibes. Like, it's that dramatic and just beautiful, exaggerated, sad. It's so good.
I feel like Keisha would have done a song like this for her babe, like, one day, you know, like, if she's trying to do a love song, the dramatics give me Keisha. I don't know. I
agree with it. Look at her face right now. She's drama.
Well.
She's drama. Look at her. That's Lawyer Bay right there.
Am I the drama?
This song is so, it's so much. It's very dramatic. It's a lot. You know, I like it. I appreciate it.
We get into it about this song.
We get into it about this song
because, again, I'm simple beat, strong lead vocal. Okay.
Well, look, you're wearing her merch, so obviously.
Oh, breathe.
Wait, was that Shane?
That wasn't Shane. That was her.
Oh, okay, by the vocals. Okay, I caught the simple part.
Strong lead vocals.
She does, absolutely.
Strong lead vocals and very, very simple instrumentals.
I just ran with the simple and I caught Shane. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a little bit of Shane. Okay, but such a small amount that you can't even consider it.
It's not even worth mentioning. My bad.
What'd you say, Casey?
I said it was so little, you know, such a small amount of shade that it wasn't worth mentioning. So
no, we love her. She's very talented, but she has too many.
No, awards. You know I love her.
She has too many awards for somebody who has one album, but that's another.
Listen, you do what you can do about it, and that's on period. Anyway,
back to Love Wouldn't Count Me Out.
Love Wouldn't Count Me Out.
That's the best back part of the whole song.
That is the epitome for me of like Brandy's simple beat, strong lead vocals type of song. Like,
for sure.
The way she brings the pain out of me on that song, it used to be that. Yeah.
Well, is talk about it.
That you turn to in those moments? Is this one of those?
Yeah, like if I'm feeling like, yeah, heartbroken romantically, or if it's just like, if it's a really bad friend breakup or something like that, and I'm just feeling like, dang, like, love don't live here no more.
But Love Wouldn't Count You Out, sis.
I have to listen to the song for it to tell me that. We have to go through the emotion.
But you have to listen to it in the right location. This is a cry in the shower song.
I see it.
Plenty of that. Masking, using the shower drip to mask your tears.
Right.
That's not happening, you know?
I mean, she's begging and pleading for lack of a...
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. It's very much in the vein of a nothing, I find. Where vulnerable. She opened up herself to go to places that were probably hard to go to when she went. And she co-wrote, so I'm sure that there was some situations that she was writing about.
Oh yeah.
That are hers, and we won't have to get too much into them, but definitely you hear the beauty in the vocal.
This is Tomorrow Part Two.
Part Two. Oh, for
and in the more current sense, this gives me bipolar. Vibes, like she's good at putting a strong ballad at the end of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, definitely always, the vocals, I can say, give me bipolar.
Yeah, like,
I had to keep going with it.
Bye.
But not the music, though.
No,
Mikey, if you want to get me started, you can keep singing in sync. want to get me started. Don't do that.
They have, listen, y'all.
But unique, that not the music, but I see, no, I understand the thought, but not like the dramatics of the violin and all of that in the music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the turning of the tide on the album, like,
yeah,
it's coming to a, like, it's coming to a close, or it's coming to a shift in the story. And it's, mm-hmm. she's about to wrap it up real tight with a pretty bow.
Right. And you see what I mean about an album being mm-hmm. a complete album. And mm-hmm. she does that. And I appreciate and respect it. Okay.
Number 16. Wow. Never knew I love so good. Wake up in the world was fighting. Woo! Wow. Yo, this song.
Wow's definitely underappreciated.
It's a feel good. Doesn't it make you happy?
Yes, it makes me feel good. I love Wow. It's one of my favorites on the album. It really is, and it does not get the credit it deserves. Nobody talks about it. Nobody asks about it.
Nobody talks about it.
What's up with that? And I mean, do you hear the stacking? Like, can you hear the amazingness?
He co-wrote this song. So this is one of the songs she co-wrote on this record.
It's one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorites too. Justice for Wow.
Justice for Wow. Hashtag justice for Wow. Absolutely. You know what it is? Like, you know how you have like comfort food that makes you feel good, makes you feel comfortable, and like brings you back to a happy memory.
Yeah.
It's a comfort song.
Yeah. I agree. Comfort song.
It was good.
Feel good track. I can't ask for anything better. So this next song is the last song on the physical release of the album. There are a few other songs that ended up on streaming, whatever, but Die Without You, a PM Dawn cover, duet with Ray J.
My boy right there.
This is the one of two Ray J songs that end up on the album because due to streaming and worldwide, whatever. So this is the first. And they're both covers.
I have strong, quick feelings.
Oh,
they're quick. I'll get them out the way and then y'all can
go. I haven't gotten my Ray J. Just go.
I love Ray J. I love the sound of his voice. Yeah. I love the sound of Ray J and Brandy together. I would like Ray J to return to real R&B. I don't want to hear him rap. I want to hear him use his beautiful instrument. This song is another feel-good comfort song. And Brandy knows how to do a cover. I'm usually not a huge fan of covers because I think people should leave certain things alone. But she knows how to do a damn cover. And this song is one of my favorites. That's all I have to say.
I ain't gonna hold y'all. Beautiful.
She's about to say something we don't like.
Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
I'm closing the laptop. Good night.
No cap.
Great gowns.
Let's be real. Let's keep it a bean.
Love it. Love that for them. Love that for them.
That's for sure. True.
But it's a skip for me.
Wow. I feel disrespected. No song on this album should be skipped.
Well, except for that skip, you just cut it off.
This is true.
That was done at that point. Wow. It's quiet
for that album after a while.
It's quiet. It's crickets after a while.
That's not true. You know what? I run that back. Justice for the next song, Another Day in Paradise. I fucking love that.
Oh my God. Now I will say I do love that more than Die Without You.
And Another Day in Paradise, a European top 10 hit. Like top 10.
And there's a video for that though. Why was there a video for that? And now he is.
I know why there was. Because she recorded Another Day in Paradise actually in 2001 because they were doing in the UK, a UK record label was doing a Phil Collins tribute album because Phil Collins being the legend that he is.
I remember
videos
that.
For it, and they released the Brandy and Ray J. They asked them to do the song. They released that as a single, was a huge hit. Like I'm talking like number like 3 in the UK, like a huge hit. And they put it on the international edition. Didn't know it existed until Apple Music came into my life in 2015. I was like, wait, what? And then that's when I heard it for the first time, and I loved it. Because I've always known the song Another Day in Paradise from Phil Collins. And so I think Brandy and Ray J sound beautiful on it. And I think he sounds great. And I like what you said, Casey. He has a great instrument and a beautiful voice. I wish he sang more and wasn't focused so much on rapping about fucking Kim. I really wish it went back to the music, like One Wish and all the good
stuff. Radiation?
He's so talented.
Radiation is such a good album. He is so talented.
He's so talented. And you listen to this and you're like, oh yeah. So I hate that what his brand has come to.
Brand, yeah, yeah.
And then the album closes off with a remix of Full Moon, the Cut Father and Joe remix. That
I love your interpretations of what the music sounds like.
I'll be honest, I don't like this remix.
I could kind of always do without remixes. Remixes like aren't my favorite thing.
Unless they're Mariah's.
Well, that's something different.
That's different.
Because those remixes, you know, those are some resung vocals.
Yeah.
They put this version, and this version I think was in a lot of the single radio versions that was in the Europe stations. I don't see why they felt the need to, but maybe they felt it was too R&B for the international markets. I'm thinking that's probably where they were leading to. But this is the closing of the album on streaming. So all in all, now that we've gone through the record, I want you guys to give me your top three of the album, and I want you guys to give me a reason why. Because there's so many great songs on this album. We just went through all 17 of them.
So here's my top three. Like, Wait to Touch Me is like top tier, like no matter what, like
gotta be included.
Yeah, like my favorite Brandy song, period. Of course, When You Touch Me is giving, it's number one. This own category, truly, honestly. But I think after that is when it starts to get a little spicy, because I'm kind of like, oh,
it could go any way.
Like it's hard after that. It's tough because I feel like, this is hard. So I guess today we're gonna give like this, give like this a moment, because I love like this, like, because you know, here's the thing: When You Touch Me and like this. The transition, like it's a big moment in the album. And I just feel like they go together so well, and I love that.
Just like in Greece, they go together.
You feel me? Am I gonna say nothing today?
I would if I were you.
Girl.
Right, like nothing is one of those songs where like Brandy is doing her best singing. Like Brandy is showing her ass on nothing. Like she showed the fuck out, and it's just like it is undeniable how good of a song that is. She just sounds so good. Like that's my top three for today. I'm gonna have to, you know, it might be different tomorrow.
I know, but today, and for everyone who's listening, whatever the fuck day it is in your country when you're listening, those are
right.
Right. Wait a minute, hold on, can we just pause right there? Did you see he said in whatever country you're listening to? Okay, that means he's major.
Listen, honestly, one of the things about this podcast is the ability to have reached different countries, specifically Brazil. They're so supportive, and I'm so thankful for all you guys listening. So yes, and I know that Brazil has a lot of big Brandy fans, so shout out to Brazil. Shout out to Brazil, baby. Unique, give me your top three. Let's do it.
Ooh, sheesh. This is like picking out the nuclear codes for war. Like, I'm going to go with today we're feeling, I thought, we are feeling Love Wouldn't Count Me Out.
I knew that wasn't yours.
Yes, I thought Love Wouldn't Count Me Out, and we had to round out the three. Full Moon, she just sticks like grits to your stomach. So I'm going to have to, and I don't even eat grits, but I'm going to have to round out the three with Full Moon today, because honestly, there is something about that song that relates in multiple areas of life and multiple time periods of life. Like, you ain't even gotta be talking about like, oh, it's a full moon and I see that cute dude over there across the room at the function. Like,
yeah,
it really just sways you through. It sways you through your day. Like,
it's a vibe.
Yeah, like it's a vibe that just gets you through the day. I don't know what, it's a lot of things that could be said about how that song was put together. And then I thought it's just, again, y'all know I'm in love with those refrains in the background and just the delivery, the spiciness, the sassiness, the attitude, the up and down in it. And then of course, Love Wouldn't Count Me Out, the epitome of Simple Beat, strongly vocals. Like, Round out the album. Turn the page, Brandy.
Okay. So this and is I hard just because
point out that you know what's going on.
I know it might not seem like it, but I know what's going on.
Oh my God. Keisha definitely was like, yo, you remember when we was in Philly and Casey?
I knew I shouldn't have did it. But what's crazy is that, like, the three of you thought that was so funny, and I could feel it. Tania was done with me. She was so tired of me. She, like, wanted to leave me and never take me home. Garrett was in his feelings. He was done with me, and I was right next to him, and I kept, like, leaning on him, and I could feel it happening because I knew what was going on, but I couldn't stop it. It was like I was just on a train on repeat, and it just like kept going over and over. I could not stop.
That's killing me. Like, that's Hall of Fame like laughter for me. Like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
But see, that's why we need to just like get a cabin in the woods, have all the snacks, all yes. the treats, all the good music, games, ugh. And obviously weed.
Oh, for sure. With you guys, that's how you guys know how to party. I'm down.
Okay. So my top three is hard because two spots are immediately taken up. Like, there's no question about them. Obviously, Nothing is number one. It's my absolute favorite Brandy song, period.
Yeah.
So that's number one for me. Just how it makes you feel. Like, you cannot beat that. I love a good sad song. She sounds amazing. It's just everything for me. Number two, of course, I have the lyrics tattooed on my body, for God's sakes. Yeah. He is. Another song that you just immediately feel emotional connection to, the way she sings it. I love that it's about God, but you can relate it to the other person in your life that you love. It does absolutely make me think of my husband, even though at 15, I didn't know my husband. So those are my top two for sure. And then it's really hard to fill this other slot because there's so much else. Everything is so good. But I think, like Keisha said, on today, I'm going to go with Wow, because it just feels so good. It makes me so happy every time I listen to it. It definitely is a mood improver.
Come on, second half of the album.
Yeah, it's so good. And I definitely have put it on at times where I'm like, I'm having a shitty day. I need to make myself feel better. And Wow is one of those songs that's like on my list. And I'm like, all right, let me get out of this funk. So that's my three and I'm sticking to it.
I respect it. Well, if y'all want to know my three.
We do.
I agree with Casey in the sense of one is taken up automatically for me, When You Touch Me. That's my number one favorite Brandy song of all time. So When You Touch Me is up there. The next song I'm going to say is Come a Little Closer, because in terms of just what I enjoy to listen to and the way it makes me feel, the way my ears feel, the way my body feels, the way my mind feels, it just moves me in a way that a lot of songs don't. And so it's just one of my favorites. And, you know, this could be interchangeable, but I am going to give it to Full Moon, because I feel like it's one of her strongest singles of her entire career. I truly believe it's one of her strongest singles of her entire career. One of the greatest album openers. And it represents the era and the album, the design. Like, come on, there's fucking moons on here, for God's sake. She went in, okay? And I feel like it is the song that perfectly encapsulates this era of her career. And it's just fucking awesome.
Yeah,
agreed.
So I would say that those are my three. I enjoy how each of us at least had one matching with somebody.
Yeah.
And that we goes had to Full Moon. Like, we had Full Moon. There was some When You Touch Me action happening over here.
Nothing.
So
we're intertwined.
Some of you guys went nothing. And then there's some songs that none of us mentioned. So it does go to show that, you know, we weren't alone in our thoughts. That's the reason why I like to do this when I have guests, because
but also there's enough Brandy for everybody.
There's enough Brandy for everybody.
You can't say that you just flat out don't like Brandy, because she has such a variety of like what she offers, what her discography is given. So if you just say you flat out don't like Brandy, you lying.
Yeah.
You lying.
Very true.
Or you flat out hating. That's right.
Fucking haters. We know there's a few of those. Well, yeah. Closing words, you guys. I just want to thank you guys for coming on here today. Before we go, do you guys give out your Instagrams one last time? Let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on the gram at forever curly girly. That's forever CURLIEGURLIE.
Curly hair. She's repping for the curly girl.
You can find me on Instagram at Unique's Worldview, UNIQUES Worldview. There'll also be a link to my YouTube, which has the same name, Unique's Worldview. And we talk all things spirituality, travel, and positive lifestyle habits.
Yes. And Unique is one of my favorites, you guys, just by the way. On social media, she'll always post things.
I love you.
When I'm going through a moment and I just like, I feel like you just really connect with your audience and with your following. Aww. And you're very vulnerable. And I appreciate that a lot. Aww.
Is she your comfort Instagram page?
She's one of mine. She's one of mine. She absolutely is one of mine. I watch absolutely everything. I just want you to know, Unique, you're one of the few that I do watch absolutely everything. And your story touches me in a lot of ways, and the way that you're not afraid to go for things that are important to you and go through the experience. So she's iconic, and
Bourbon,
please. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, Forever Keisha, the number Forever Keisha, KDISHA underscore. So I'm on there stressed out often, you know.
But this law school bae.
Hey, that's life. We're all stressed up, but that's why we need good music, right? And that's what gets us through. And that's why I do this podcast. And Brandy, if you ever get the chance to listen to this, know that we all love you so much. And thank you for this album. And here's to 20 more fucking years of Full Moon.
That's
right. 20 more.
Cheers.
Say it like it mean it.
Cheers.
Clink, clink, clink.